to another episode of Highly Questionable. I'm doing the Dan Le Batard thing where I start the show before Sarah is ready. Dominique, what do you like on the show today?
Oh, explaining to you why being an all-time great NFL corner prepares you to be an all-time great college football coach. It could happen. We all love Dion. Must be the money.
So, do we have to apologize to John Gruden now?
Raiders beat the Chargers 26-24 last night. They're now one loss behind the Chiefs in the AFC West loss column. This is a much better season than we expected, Mina. But does that mean we have to apologize?
So I think we have to apologize to John Gruden, the coach, because he's been very good in that capacity this year. The Raiders offense has been exceptional. Derek Carr in particular is playing at a level we haven't seen since 2016, when many considered him an MVP candidate. Statistically, he's actually been better. Some of that is on account of his improvement. Some of that is because of the scheme. A lot of it is because of their offensive line. You certainly saw the contrast last night between those two lines. But I'm not sure we have to apologize to John Gruden, the shadow GM, just yet. Because while they've made good use of the assets they acquired by getting rid of Amari Cooper and Khalil Mack, they'd obviously be better with those players, right? I think the jury is still out on whether those trades worked out for the organization in the short term.
Yeah, I think you're right that we definitely have to apologize for him as a coach, because we all thought maybe the game passed him by, and we certainly thought that him getting this unprecedented 10-year, $100 million deal was a little out of nowhere. But I think he's proven so far that maybe he's worth it. And the fact that he had that long-term deal, I think, suggests that maybe he is a good shadow GM, because he is not setting this team up. I agree. Having those players right now will make them better now. But do you think that that would make them a Super Bowl contender now? I don't think so. I think having the young talent in place of that sets them up to be Super Bowl contenders by the time they get to Nevada, which is what I think he is planning to do. So I think we owe John Gruden an all-around apology, but I'm not going to give it to him because I don't say sorry.
I actually agree with both of you. I think there's something to be said for what Mina is saying, which is you can argue that the draft picks are good, but are they Khalil Mack good? And that's what you would need in order to defend giving away a player like that. But as for Dominique's point, I agree. We thought that maybe John Gruden was playing the long con. I get to be here for 10 years. It doesn't matter if we stink for five of them. But they're way ahead of where we thought they might be if he was really approaching it from that long-term perspective. I think it's probably somewhere in the middle. We have yet to see whether he can make them a great team, but they're certainly much better than we thought. And so far, some of the moves we've questioned have at least paid off in the short term way earlier than we expected.
Right, and that Khalil Mack trade was roundly mocked at the time, but look at these two teams now.
Okay, yeah, Khalil Mack is the reason that the Bears stink. Yeah, that's definitely... Mina, you know what? Don't degrade your ability to provide quality analysis in order to try to make the cheap joke, because I'm going to hold that against you forever if you're trying to make the argument that Khalil Mack is the source of the Bears' concerns.
No, just not a worse team.
Would Deion Sanders be a smart coaching hire for Florida State?
Yeah, so an NFL Network report has Deion Sanders in the running for the FSU job. Other reporters are saying there's no indication that he's actually a candidate, but let's have some fun with this. Prime time in Tallahassee, a DB taking the reins. Let's go to our resident DB, and by that I mean defensive back, not any other way that you could read those letters. So, Dominique, what say you?
Yeah, so you asked if it was a smart choice. I wouldn't necessarily say it was a smart choice, but I think it would be a unique choice, and I don't think it's outlandish, because being a head coach in college football is not as much about scheme as it is in the NFL. I think it's a lot about persona. It's about branding. It's about recruiting 16, 17-year-old, 18-year-old kids who are talented and want to be a part of an organization. I think we see down in LSU, everyone knows that that swamp monster they have down there, Ed Orgeron, is not a tactician, but he is good at recruiting, and he went and got the offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators that he needed. I think Deion Sanders is certainly capable of being ahead of an organization and of that size and finding the right people to support the organization, and they could have more success than they certainly had under Willie Taggart. Now, Mina, go ahead and hate on it.
I'm just wondering if you need a towel or you worked up a little bit of a sweat trying to convince yourself there that this could actually work out. Coach O was a coach, Dominique, at the college level before taking that job. There's no reason to believe Deion Sanders is capable of this. Also, there's also no reason to believe, by the way, that he'd be willing to go into 17-year-olds' living rooms and try to convince them to come to FSU. Everyone's assuming he'd be a great recruiter, and obviously on paper he would be alluring, but that doesn't mean it would actually work out. Frankly, I don't see why he'd want to do that. right? Right now, his job is just being Deion Sanders and being loved for it. You really think he's going to take on all of this work and responsibility, and for what?
Yeah, so, I mean, to that point, I think that you're using your logic. That's not the logic that made Deion Sanders the greatest cornerback that ever lived. Like, I imagine that looking for another challenge is something that would appeal to him. And I agree that maybe he has not been a college coach, but he has been a coach before. Maybe he's not successful at it, but there are different ways to do this job. There are different ways to do a lot of jobs.
Well, everybody's got their different logic. Let me address your logic, Dominique, which is essentially that he would be a figurehead who would be an interesting draw. That's agreed, right? People would want to come play for him. But he had a disastrous stint as a high school coach, not just as a tactician, but as a leader of people, as a figurehead. It was brutal. Money was lost. Physical violence was threatened. There's no reason to presume that he would be able to handle essentially being the CEO of a team, which is what this job would entail. I think this is a terrible idea. I absolutely don't think he should be interested, and I don't think the school should be interested either.
My bad. I forgot the fact that college football coaches are all moral and everything is above board with college football coach.
Trust me, I didn't say that. My fault.
Oopsie.
Does it make sense to you that the NBA fined the Clippers?
Yeah, $50,000 for the Clippers. The NBA says Doc Rivers' comment that Kawhi Leonard, quote unquote, feels great was inconsistent with their report that he needed to sit out because of a knee injury / load management. Mina, I think we all know the truth behind why Leonard was sitting. Should they be fined for being honest about it?
Yeah, I actually think so. I mean, here's the thing about the load management issue. There's no win-win for both teams and fans or the business of the NBA. There's no outcome that's going to please everyone. And the NBA can't make teams act against their own competitive interest here. We know that this works. We saw it work with Kawhi last season. The only thing they can do is ask teams to shut up about it to try to minimize the issue, and that's not what happened here.
Yeah, so that's why I think that the fine was unnecessary, because the fine did nothing but draw more attention to it. Because what I understand what Doc was saying was he feels great because of the load management. So finding him and drawing more attention to it is making it a bigger issue that could potentially go away if you don't talk about it. I think the point that you were making originally, Mina, you were kind of alluding to the fact that the interests of the team are in conflict with the interests of the league, and that the interest of the league is making money and being as entertaining as possible. The interest of the team is winning championships. And obviously, in this situation, they could because there are so many games, and you're right, there's no perfect solution to this, and the problem has gotten bigger, at least the perception of the problem is bigger than the actual problem is, at least so far this season, because the names of the people who have had their loads managed, so to speak, is Kawhi Leonard, Russell Westbrook, Mo Bamba, and Kyle Korver. So it's really not that big of a problem. We're not missing out on LeBron, AD, and the type of guys that we want to really see play.
Yeah, but listen, I agree with you, Dominique. This draws more attention now. But if this is preventative so that in future instances, coaches do not conflict with the stories that they're telling about their players, it's a smart move on their part. It's very similar to what they do with tanking. You can hear about trust the process. You can watch a team play a bunch of players that shouldn't be on a G League roster. But as soon as you have a coach or person in upper management flat out tell everyone, we're not trying. Come to our games. Give us money. Watch us on TV. We're not trying, though. Suddenly, it becomes a bit different, and I think that's exactly what they're doing here.
I think it's in the best interest of everyone when no one addresses that a star is missing.
Mm-hmm. Coming up next on my Soul Stevie show.
Now, I don't know if you guys have spent any time on the college football internet, but it will melt down if that happens. As someone who only roots for chaos, that is the outcome I desire.
Is it smart for the Chiefs to start Patrick Mahomes this weekend?
Yeah, after a lot of questions, Andy Reid now saying that Patrick Mahomes is expected to start Sunday against the Titans after practicing fully for the last 2 days. Dominique, you think this is a good idea?
I mean, it's certainly a little bit more risky than I would suggest for Patrick Mahomes, but I kind of like it, honestly, with the Raiders winning last night. I think the competition for getting into the playoffs is getting a little harder, and the competition for getting a first-round bye is very, very difficult, even in a weak AFC. And in order to win a Super Bowl, which is what this team's aim is, as long as Patrick Mahomes is in that building, they need to get that first-round bye. And I think having Patrick Mahomes and winning these games put them in a better position, even if he's a little hobbled, than if they lose him and they're not in that position, they're out of the playoffs or have to play in a wild card round.
I think this is the Chiefs, Andy Reid, saying the first-round bye really matters, perhaps even more than Patrick Mahomes being 100%. I'm not sure that that's the right decision. One thing we've learned about Mahomes this season, watching him play through injuries, is how important mobility is to his game. I mean, statistically, Patrick Mahomes' yards per attempt actually increased proportionally with his speed while throwing. It's a tremendous component to his game, even though we don't think of him as like a traditional, like a running quarterback necessarily, and it's going to be key to him beating either New England or Baltimore in January.
Yeah, I agree with Mina. Listen, we obviously don't know what percent he's at. Maybe the point is he looks so great in practice and is completely past the injury, and that's why Andy Reid feels comfortable doing this. But I'm a lot less concerned about how they fare against a Titans team that has a little life with Ryan Tannehill, but is still just the Titans, when Matt Moore might be able to get that done, than I am about Patrick Mahomes and what he's going to look like against good teams when it matters more. I would be very careful here, but as far as we know, maybe Andy Reid just feels like he's at 100.
Stop it with that Matt Moore talk. Like, I love Matt Moore as much as the next guy. This is a beautiful story from scout a few months ago to winning in the NFL and going toe-to-toe with Aaron Rodgers. But he's still Matt Moore, and he was a scout a few months ago, not because he's a franchise quarterback. He's had a couple good weeks, and I think right now you're playing with house money if you think that he's going to continue to do that.
I also think sometimes you really think you're going to miss a superstar, and then as it turns out, it's really more about the system than it is about the talent. Oh. And the people that replace that, I'm sorry, person that replaces that superstar are actually much better.
Does Alabama need to beat LSU tomorrow to make the playoff?
A huge matchup coming right after the first college football playoff rankings. Alabama's been a mainstay since this new system was put into place, but they only have one quality win against Texas A&M. And then after that, other teams that are competing for these top spots, like Clemson, have a better win, have more wins against winning teams, have more wins against Power 5 teams, and have an easier schedule going forward, so have a higher likelihood of going undefeated. Dominique, is there a safety net for Bama if they lose this game?
I don't think so, outside of just the sheer power of Nick Saban. But the one quality win that you pointed out against Texas A&M, they're not even ranked at this point. Mm-hmm. So I'm not even sure that counts as a quality win. Their out-of-conference schedule includes Duke, is the very toughest opponent that they've had. So I
minus
think
Daniel Jones, which, I mean.
Without dimes, too. So if they go on to win out and win the SEC championship, I think they're definitely in. They might even be able to win out and lose the SEC championship and get in. But I don't think they can lose this game, which means they won't get into the SEC championship and get in, and I think they're going to lose this weekend.
Ooh, spicy prediction. You guys are right. If they lose, their path obviously gets very difficult. They don't control their own destiny. But here's what I want to happen. I want them to lose, and then I want LSU to lose to Georgia in the title game, at which point we will have three SEC teams with a single loss. Now, I don't know if you guys have spent any time on the college football internet, but it will melt down if that happens. As someone who only roots for chaos, that is the outcome I desire.
Wait, let me add in also, I also want Baylor to then go undefeated and run the table, just to make things even more confusing for everybody.
Highly questionable. This broadcast from the Clevelander Hotel on beautiful South Beach, Miami.
Time to play the game that thinks Lenny is feeling pretty left out. He's not on ESPN Daily. Do you question?
I think you're the one who's feeling left out. Oh, shoot.
I don't want to be on your stupid show. You don't even know you're left from your right.
Yeah.
Like
you
this?
Topics and events, like we question this.
Do you question if number 79 should keep playing running back?
So this This is a sixth grade football game.
Oh, I was going to say, please be adults.
Number 79, who we will see here, carrying the rock, is, we're told, 363 pounds, and
whoa,
that does not surprise.
Yes.
He is
just...
Get him!
Rocking.
This is like Andre the Giant and the Princess Bride. You could just hang all over him. It doesn't matter. He is a force. I'm sorry, sixth grade?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a pretty impressive athlete. You got to give some credit, and also credit to the defense. You got to stick with it, because when I was in the sixth grade, if a 6'3", 360-pound man, because that's what that was running at me, I would get the hell out of the way. So those kids are either dumb or tough or both. Maybe they're dumb tough.
Someone tells me he's probably going to get moved as he gets a little bit older. I don't think there are a lot of 6'3" running backs at all, not to mention 300-plus pound ones at the higher levels. So I think this is a good show of effort, and that it'll probably be repositioned to the offensive line.
He may get his position moved before he gets to the league, but I feel like there is some team that could have used him because he's a big power back, very close to the goal line. And maybe they wouldn't have to do this.
No, what? Oh. Come on.
It doesn't even make sense. To the big back.
Wow.
This is your bitterness coming through.
Oh, gosh, why didn't they just run the ball? I love quarterbacks.
Mina, has anyone ever asked you why didn't they run it there?
Because in that season, they had not been good at running the ball in short yardage situations. You know what? I'm not doing this again.
Do you question if you knew that whales could do this?
So we've got a beluga whale in the Arctic Ocean. He is with his friend, apparently. Let's see how this goes.
This is a majestic
There's the whale.
Beast. Look at it.
And
so
his pal, I'm not really comfortable calling him his owner, throws.
He's
going to go fetch it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
That throw was about as accurate as Mitchell Trubisky if he was aiming
you
for
beat
the
me
whale,
to it.
But thankfully, I think he was leading him.
You beat me to it.
Alan Robinson
the whale's got The whale's got hands like Dominique. Can't seem to get a hold of it.
This is a hater.
He's also got a forehead like Dominique.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Good closing speed, though. Look at this. Here we come. Catching up to
bring
the
it back,
boat.
Bring it back. Bring it back. Look at him. Dominique, are you silent because you're upset about my forehead joke? Be honest. Listen, that fetching was pretty impressive, but I have seen better.
Uh-oh. Oh! Lenny!
Wow, that's awesome. That's incredible. I didn't know you could teach rats how to fetch. That's incredible. Time to play the game that just loves to remind Sarah that Mitchell Trubisky was drafted before Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Christian McCaffrey, and Alvin Kamara. See or no?
You tell us what's on TV tonight. We'll tell you if we're intrigued.
Tonight at 10:30 p.m., Heat and Lakers.
The Heat, surprising. Jimmy Butler last night, 9 of 10 for 30 in the first half. In that game, loving the spotlight, maybe not loving sharing the spotlight so much. Take a look.
You've made it very plain, we all should know by now, is he is not having any of his video bombs. Not having it. You've made it very plain that you don't care what happens as long as it's a win. Is it any more savory?
Go to the locker room, man. Go to the locker room. Great game. Go to the locker, please. That's it, baby. We got another one tomorrow.
What is it that you don't enjoy about the video bombs?
Huh? It's not about them right now. It's about me.
Very good. With that being said, is it?
Yes. Very intrigued, because while he may be smiling and laughing, this is just another little hint of some Jimmy Butler malaise that may manifest itself into another blow-up with his teammates and asking his way out of Miami. So, yes, I'm intrigued. Mina Kimes, you intrigued? I use your full name again.
I appreciate the degree of formality you're affording me. It's really what I deserve, Sarah. Yes, I am intrigued by this game of basketball. It shall be a fine event.
Dominique Forehead Foxworth.
Oh, my gosh. Of course I'm intrigued. So first, I'm going to call out the fact that you're just a Jimmy Butler hater because he left your Chicago Bulls franchise.
I love Jimmy B.
Why are you talking about Jimmy Butler malaise? I didn't see any malaise there. I saw a man being funny and a man being honest. A lot of other players feel the same way. When I ball out, I don't need you in the back dancing around trying to steal my attention. Let's just talk about how awesome I am. So I appreciate him for his honesty and his ability to ball, but they're going to lose to the Lakers.
Yeah, the Lakers have won 6 in a row. They are winning with defense, winning with the bench, winning with their starters, winning when AD's in foul trouble. This is kind of unbelievable. I don't have anything else to say about it. I just thought that was interesting.
You can say that. Maybe I do have a big forehead, but it's not as big as LeBron James's. So it's just a sign of greatness. Look at it.
Sunday at 1 p.m., Bills and Browns.
Okay, yeah, we'll talk about the game in a second. But Baker Mayfield changed his facial hair twice during the game and after the game last week, and this was his response to all the follicular changes.
No, the quarterbacks had a Movember mustache, and the original thought for me, due to handlebars, I was undefeated before Sunday with the handlebar mustache, so I shaved it off because I didn't deserve it.
Okay, Baker Mayfield sad is so depressing. I just want him to have swagger even when they suck. Like, this is not fun, Dominique. I guess I'm still intrigued because whether they win or lose, there's something about really soaking up all the misery of Cleveland, but I want him to be fiery again.
See, even though you didn't ask me, I am also still intrigued because I want to know if he's going to run out of hair to cut off because they stink. They're going to lose a lot more games. So you can say goodbye to that mustache. Maybe we go eyebrows next. Maybe we go hair and we just have a completely bald powder of a quarterback and maybe he'll start throwing the ball to his receivers, not the other team's DBs.
Mina Kimes, are you intrigued? I don't know why I used your full name.
I appreciate it. Mina Mugelkimes. Intrigued by the game, I actually think Baker was kind of right there, right? Like, imagine if he had come out after a loss with a Fu Manchu and was like, you know, we'll play better next week. We would all be making fun of him.
Aren't we making fun of him anyway?
We made fun of him anyway. It doesn't matter what his face looks like.
That's all the time we have for today. Mina, what do you have to plug?
Subscribe to ESPN Daily. Dominique's not on there, but it's very good.
Oh, if I was on there, more people would listen. Sarah, what you got?
That's what she said, with Sarah Spain out every Tuesday and Spain and Company every weeknight on ESPN Radio.
Okay, on Monday, someone will be here. It won't be us, though.
Why don't we take one more look at Dominique playing DB?
Oh, haters.
Never looked better.
Oh, gosh, man.